Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thanks for listening to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Greg, how's it going?
It is going great. How you doing, Russ?
I'm doing great. It's like summer in California. I mean,
it has been beautiful recently.
It has been fantastic. Yes, it's been a little hot. Yes, it's been like, you know, in the hundreds, and that's a little difficult for, you know, working from home.
The secret is to go into San Francisco and hang out by the bay, because you get that marine layer and it never gets too hot. And that's where I was over the weekend, even though I got a nice little tan while I was there. But I was actually reffing a pickleball tournament right there at Chase Center.
I saw the photos. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I got the message out there about our third shot podcast, and it was a great way to meet other pickleballers, and what a beautiful way to get out of the heat of where I live.
Exactly. I did the same recently. I went into San Francisco to do an AI conference.
Yeah.
And that was also like, I mean, it was at the Palace of Fine Arts. So
beautiful.
You know, it was cool in there. And it was beautiful outside, and you know, they had like food trucks and stuff, which fantastic. You know, I participated. But you know, the interesting thing about it was there wasn't a whole lot of networking. Like, I don't think I wrote down names. I took notes. There's people that I want to contact, and there's people that I want to get on this show, actually, because I think that they would be very appropriate for our audience. But I didn't really meet a whole lot of people. I didn't really like do the whole schmoozy type thing with anyone. And I wasn't the only one. And I don't know if it was the way that the schedule was set up, because there were so many, you know, interesting speakers. And it was a little odd that the entire day, or it was like a 3-day event, but the entire day I was there, there was something going on, an event, a speaker that I wanted to go to. And they overlapped. So it was like, you know, this one starts at 9 a.m. This one starts at 9:45, but the first one doesn't end until 10. So I found myself more focused on that. And as I was walking by booths and stuff, there was nobody at the booths either. So at least when I was walking around, I mean, you know, there were people at the food truck when I was out there. I did make time for that. But it felt like it wasn't really set up exactly for networking.
Well, I am guessing the reason why this was an AI convention, right?
An AI convention.
I'm guessing everybody just sent their avatar.
That's true. It could just be. Everybody's walking around. I am not
you
a robot.
Didn't realize it. There was nobody live there. That's why you didn't get the chance to talk to anybody.
That's true. I did put on a headset when I walked in, and the rest is
a new challenge in networking, going to AI conventions and everybody just sends an avatar or a holograph, right?
Right.
And then, all the holographs are just walking around. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned the third shot podcast and doing the refereeing at the pickleball thing. Like, you're having no problem networking with that thing. I'm telling you,
the pickleball community is wonderful. They're very social, and networking has been no problem getting the message out there. All I got to do, honestly, All I have to do is show up wearing my Third Shot podcast with my Uncle Greg on the back sweatshirt.
Right.
I got my sweatshirt. I'm doing branding. And people go, oh, my gosh, it's Uncle Greg. Right. And they come up and they introduce themselves. I handle one of our stickers. I talk to them about our show a little bit. They ask me a whole bunch of questions about different guests that we've had. And it's amazing. All I got to do is do different appearances.
Right.
At different pickleball tournaments, or like this, I was refereeing and I was scorekeeping. Sometimes I'm playing, and I'll meet a ton of people every single time I go out there.
Nice. Nice. And that's, I've seen it. I've seen you work your magic at these events, whether, you know, over the, you know, video that we're, you know, doing some live stream or whatever, or actually at the event. So I've seen it. And you know what you should be doing is passing out Celsius. If we can get Celsius as a sponsor over on that podcast.
We're working on that one.
Gonna make that happen.
Yes.
But we're not talking about sponsors today. We're talking about networking. And Greg and I just had two very different experiences. So maybe we should bring on an expert in the world of networking. Michael Foreman joining us today. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. Doing great. So tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I've been networking for about 30 years. I've been doing it seriously, talking about it, going on stages for about 12 years. And it's really a function that it involves everything and everybody. You were talking about AI and introverts and things like that. You know, AI would be perfect for introverts. They send an avatar and they don't have to be there. Perfect.
Right. Right.
Perfect for them. But I am an Air Force veteran. I was in the Air Force for 9 years. I was in the mortgage industry, the law industry. I own my own business, pizzerias, restaurants. So I really got the full gambit of what it is to network. And I thought about it and serious enough where I started going out and talking about it. I was talking about it off and on for about 10 or 12 years. But in the last year, I quit my job and just went into this full time.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you have a varied background, being a restaurateur and a lawyer and in the mortgage industry. Like,
wasn't a lawyer. I worked for a law firm.
I worked for a law firm. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Which role do you feel that you really network the most?
Well, that's easy. That would be the mortgage industry. Because when you are I was a manager, so I had about 15 loan officers under me. So I had to deal with all of them,
teach them how to network properly.
But
to go out there in the world, network,
it's how to build that rapport with everybody. I had two networking groups, one in New York, one in New Jersey, and both of them had about 30 businesses in each. There were weekly meetings. To educate, instruct, teach them how to network from the beginning, from the eye contact, all the way through the follow-up.
Right.
Yeah, you know, eye contact, very key at events. And when you're talking to somebody. What about, I might be stealing Greg's question here, but what about online? What about when you're doing a Zoom presentation? Like I have my camera right now, and hopefully I'm demonstrating good eye contact, but I have my camera actually in front of my monitor because I feel like eye contact is important when doing meetings.
It is.
Is that like, what would you suggest for people? Give them a little tip when they're setting up like a Zoom thing or doing a webinar or some sort of presentation.
Okay, you see a lot of people put the camera down and away from them or up and away. Wrong, okay? Have the camera just about here and bring up your window so that the people you're talking to are closest to the camera. So it looks as if you're talking right to them. And this way you can develop that eye contact, and hopefully that will bring that barrier down. That'll bring that little bit of, well, I don't know you. You know, simple mantra of networking, if they know you, if they like you and trust you, they'll do business with you. And you need to have before they will trust you.
That's interesting. Essentially, you know, I'm glad you brought up the whole online networking, Russ, because one of the things that happened during COVID was like the BNI networking events, the Chamber of Commerce, right? All the ones where you get to meet other business owners and you physically can kind of like walk up to them and start a conversation. Then all of a sudden, everything kind of shut down a little bit and everybody tried to do these online networking events. And you just don't have that flexibility where you can just walk a room and, you know, and introduce yourself, pass business cards. And now you kind of have to figure out these breakout rooms or when is it your time to talk? It's just a whole new set of challenges in networking. And luckily, a lot of things are coming back to in person again. I think it's easier to network in person. But for these online events, Michael, what do you suggest? How do you go about being effective?
Well, you have, if you are the host, okay, if you're the person controlling the entire thing, and let's take BNI because I was part of the BNI for quite some time, and you have that first person, the president usually, doing the initial talking. He's got to talk into the camera, but he's got to bring up people's names. He has to make it more interactive. Otherwise, people will put their camera off or start doing other work or start doing anything else but paying attention. So your main goal is to keep everybody's attention. And listen, my BNI was like 30 people large. Okay, so to keep the attention of 30 people is no easy task. But, you know, you bring in like, oh, there's Mike. He's got the plumbing company and, you know, he just couldn't give a, you know, crap. So, you know, it's you have to inject a little humor into things and make people laugh and make it interactive. You can't just keep that same dry feeling because you'll lose everybody.
Does the plumber always flush out every topic?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I should have used that one as a little more clean than that.
You know, okay, so in-person events, I described my in-person event earlier, and, you know, I think it was the setup that was the problem. Like, it just wasn't really geared for that. And part of that was it wasn't geared for that, but also I think, you know, like they were planning on specific networking times or planning on specific things like later in the evening or whatever. I was there just during the day. I wasn't gonna, you know, stay until 8, 9, you know, whatever. So I think I left around 3 or 4 or something. So I feel like I missed out on the networking thing. No, I left wanting that, you know, and I feel like a lot of people though don't want that, but I'm sorry, go ahead and say.
When you go to a networking event, you always arrive early and you always stay late. Okay. So I think you got there pretty much on time and you left early. So you cut out the two most important parts of networking. Now, the people who hosted this networking, this AI networking event, probably put the in-person networking later on in the day because that's not what they were talking about. They should have scheduled a little bit of the networking in between. And for you, you know, you wanted to go see all these speakers. So you have to really make that decision of, well, do I really need to see this speaker? Do I want to network instead? So it's a choice that you would have to make. And, you know, there's a big thing when you go to a networking event, the first thing you think of is you want to sell whatever you have and you want to get as many business cards as you can. And you want to hand out as many business cards as you can. Okay? Wrong, wrong, and wrong. Okay? You never hand out business cards. You have to treat the business cards like they're money. And let's just say you walk up to a table. It has five people. And you don't talk. You listen. You stop, you listen, you see whether or not you can give them something valuable for that conversation. If you see that the conversation isn't going the way that you would like it, you can politely bow out and go to the next table. You didn't hand out any business cards because nobody there really is worthy. Okay? You go up. And when you do meet somebody, like we said, you look them square in the eye, introduce yourself. You don't talk business. You let them talk.
Yeah. You know, I think like I go back to, you know, like my childhood of watching Johnny Carson, right? Like I was the, you know, in that lucky group of watching Johnny. Yep. And it was so much about making the other person, the guest, look good. Asking the right questions, asking the right follow-up, paying complete attention to that person. I mean, yeah, that's interview style, but that's also like, I feel like when I go out and if I'm networking and I'm doing that and following like that sort of process of asking more questions than I'm giving answers, then it works out so much better.
It really does. And, you know, let's say that you make the connection. Okay. And you want to follow up with this person. Take their business card, write down the date on the back of the business card, the name of the function on the back of the business card, and something you talked about. Okay. His son was playing baseball, but twisted his ankle, is out for 3 days. Okay. Whatever. Right. This way, when you get back home, you immediately write that email. Hey, John, I just saw you at such and such event. I remember I'm the person that spoke to you about your son, Johnny, in Little League. He twisted his ankle. I'm sorry to hear that. I hope to follow up with you soon. Now, I didn't give a date. I didn't say what I did. I didn't give a time. Nothing. That was just the first email. And then right afterwards, I'm going to go to my note cards, handwritten note cards. And I'm going to write them a handwritten note card. Hey, write almost the same exact thing, except I'm free for some coffee. Would you like to meet for a cup of coffee? Put your business card in, seal it up, send it out. Now, could you imagine being at work and you get mail? You get something right. That's not associated with a bill, you know, and you open it up and you say, oh, that's great. Now, it's about 90% sure that they're going to respond. Okay. Only because of the thank you note. But if they don't, then wait about 3 or 4 days, email them. Hey, I just want to touch base with you. I sent you that thank you note. It just so happens that I'm available next Tuesday or Wednesday. Would you like to get some coffee?
I like this because what you're doing is it's not necessarily at the event where you're making the impression, is the follow-up to the event that you're making a really strong impression.
Yeah, I've always, and I guess this is the improv in me, I always try to change whatever the little elevator pitch, the thing that I'm going to say, whatever it is, I'm always changing it.
Yeah. Hey, Brent, I agree with you. I think you should always change it too. But you know, in your scenario where, you know, you had some people at the event where that you knew they were your client, right? And then you had a bunch of people that you wanted to be your client. When I've been in those situations, my goal is to try to get a conversation with both parties. I want to have one client and a non-client in the same conversation. So I have a live case study talking about how they enjoy working with me, how they enjoy working with the service, the product to the potential new client. And if you can make that happen, you're going to get that new client more times than not.
Well, so I mean, it was super successful event, the way that it all worked out, because I actually did that. And I think you and I chatted about that beforehand. So you may have you know, been on my shoulder whispering at me, get these guys to meet. But yeah, I mean, I would introduce people. I would invite them both out to drinks, or I would invite them, you know, both out to the dinners that we had or whatever it was, just to get them chatting, and then, you know, end up in between them talking about something. And then, of course, do the follow up. Now, I didn't do the note cards. I like that touch. I think that's a nice touch. It's a touch
that nobody really does anymore. Now, like I said, I've been doing it for 20 years. But the next best thing to what you're talking about, Greg, is if you have your customer, can you? I mean, do you know anybody else here in your same organization, not the same organization, in the same field as you? Do you think you can introduce me? And if he's your customer already, sure. Let me, here, come here. Come here. And then that is just as good a referral.
Yeah, that's something that I've always tried to do as well, that works really, really well, is have other people. Do you know anybody else here? Oh, who do you know here? Oh, who have you met here? And then just, even if they just met him, you know, 10 minutes ago. Oh, I was just talking to Greg over there. He's a good guy. He really likes pickleball. Pickleball. Oh, I got to go talk to Greg. Hey, Greg, you know, we should play sometime. That's fun. You know, blah, 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 blah. And then next thing you know, Greg and I are hosting a podcast together.
How'd that happen?
That's not how it works. But yeah, I think it's, these are great tips. I was going to ask, and Greg, I think I keep stepping on you here. I'm sorry, but I've had a Celsius. And so I've got lots of energy. I just wanted to ask about, injecting humor, right? It can be. So I had somebody that told me, you know, you don't have to be funny out of the gate. Like, you don't have to be, you know, like, don't go in with just the joke, you know, don't do the dad joke right away. Like, get to know them first a little bit, and then, you know, bring in some humor. What do you think? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you think? You have to feel them out a little bit. Okay. And it's funny because I just covered this to another podcast about humor in networking and everything else. And first thing you have to find out, are you funny? Are you a funny person? Okay. Right. Because if you're not, don't do it. Don't try to be funny when you're not, because the person you're speaking to will tell immediately that you're not funny and you're trying too hard. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're used to putting a humor into, with my breakout sessions, my keynotes, I have a slide presentation. I have slides in there that have nothing to do with what I talk about. In there, okay, and I talk about it, and it goes a long way. And if I didn't get a chuckle, at least out it comes. Okay, and I'll think of something else. Okay, but my slides are tried and true, you know, humor. But you have to feel out your clients or your prospective clients. And also you have to see whether or not they are ultra clean, you know. And when I say ultra clean, I mean, you have to really make sure that your jokes are super, super clean. Otherwise you lost them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've all been around, especially when cocktails are involved in these network events. Sometimes the jokes get a little outside the line.
A little racy. Yeah. A little bit, a little much, you know. Yeah. But then you either politely get yourself out of that situation or like, yo, man, just tone that down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, earlier in the conversation, we talked a little bit about, I think Russ, you know, was talking to somebody that's an introvert. And, you know, Michael, one of the things you said is like, you know, have them kind of remember you and like you. For the introverts out there, sometimes I've seen, at least when they're in conversation with an extrovert, that's just dominating the conversation. It's very difficult for the introvert to feel I don't know, comfortable enough or can force themselves enough to contribute to those types of conversations. And they just get swallowed up. And after a couple of, you know, 30 minutes of that, they're like, I don't know what to do. Like, I might want to leave.
Well, you know, here is, listen, I think a networking event helps you in many, many ways. And what the introvert has to do is they go with somebody, and it's a conversation that the introvert can add to, then the extrovert will say, you know something? That's really great. My friend Susan here, she knows all about that. Susan?
Yeah, I feel like, Greg, if you and I went to a conference of some sort, if it was a subject or topic that you knew better, it would be like, I would just hang out with you just to kind of get a feel for it first. But then it's almost like, I feel like the way that we would handle some things are like, you would start a conversation, you would head out, I would hang behind and do some, you know, some right. follow up afterward type thing or whatever. Right. Like we could do it that way, depending on who's kind of the leader in that. So I think that is one way of going together, sort of like a divide and conquer type of approach. I had an entertainment company, and I would do a lot of events where it was just impossible. I mean, you know, 1,000 people at this event or something, it was an impossible thing to reach out to that many people. And you do want to hit a bunch of clients. You do want to, you know, bring a bunch of, you know, get a bunch of leads in from that, you know, particular event. So I'd have like 3 or 4 people there, and it's like, how many people can you meet in that particular day? And, you know, you run into somebody and they want to talk about, you know, like, they want to talk about sales, you know, like, oh, you know what, let me bring you back over here. We got to find Greg. You got to talk to him, because he's, you know, a master at sales, and he's so good at it. He's been doing it for years, blah, 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 blah. Hey, Greg, this is Michael. You got to meet him.
Well, you know, a lot of times I'll actually look for the introverts that are sitting by themselves, and then I'll go and introduce myself to them, and I'll bring them into the conversation and make them feel comfortable, because nobody else is doing that. Immediately, I've leveled up in their eyes, because right. I made them feel good about that event.
I call that be the host, not the guest. And what it means, exactly what you just said. If it's a networking event that you are used to going to, and you see somebody standing off almost by themselves but unsure, you go up, you introduce yourself, you say, hey, what do you do? What do you talk about? Come on, let's go try this table. And immediately you grew by like 10 feet. Be the host, not the guest.
I like
that. Very good, Greg.
Yeah, yep. I like that a lot. Well, speaking of being the host, I guess we've got to do the hostly things here and start wrapping up here. You mentioned the book, Michael. You've also got a website. If you could kind of help yep. people to find that book in your website.
It's very simple, michaelaforeman.com. On there, you will see the number of podcasts I've been on, the different talks that I do. There's a link for the book. You can get it. There's also a contact form for keynote, breakout session, workshops, coaching one-on-one. There's a contact form right on the website, and you can just send it to me. I'll call you back within 24 hours, and we'll begin. But everything is strategically placed on the website, michaelaforeman.com.
And you're going to write them a handwritten letter too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. What you need to do is do the whole website handwritten if you can. That would
That
would stand out.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been very informative and a fun conversation.
Yes, it has. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing DIY for Business. The subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow. All of the information provided is opinion-based, and you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business situation. Greg and I, well, we want your company to succeed, and we are happy to take your questions. We'd also love to hear your suggestions for future episodes. Like if there's an area of your business where you need some solid advice or help, let us know. We might be able to build an entire episode around it and get your questions answered. You can reach out to us by visiting us on our website at DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. The link is in the podcast description. We thank you again for listening and subscribing and reviewing DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.